This is Mark Strassman, reporter with California Politics Today. We're about to speak to Dana Cody, who's the executive director of the Life Legal Defense Foundation and the attorney in one of the cases being brought against the Independent Citizens Oversight Committee about the spending of $3 billion. Welcome back to California Politics Today.
Thank you.
You're going into court tomorrow, is my understanding. Where and what are you going to be arguing about?
It's the Hayward Hall of Justice in Alameda County, and the Attorney General has brought a motion to transfer a bond invalidation action from Sacramento to Alameda County to consolidate with our lawsuit. So we're going to be opposing that motion.
Now, there's not going to be any arguments about the merits of your case?
No, just whether or not the case should be consolidated.
And this is the case that David Llewellyn is bringing.
Correct.
And what's your position on why you don't want the cases consolidated?
Well, we think that it'll just be distracting. I mean, we're focusing on one narrow issue, whether or not the Independent Citizens Oversight Committee exists constitutionally and, you know, has the right to spend the taxpayers' money. And our action was brought prior to any bonds, any resolution to have bonds issued. We don't care how the money gets into the state treasury. We're just saying they don't have a right to that money because they're not under the management and control of the state. And so we just think it adds confusion because we're not objecting to how the money is issued. We're objecting to how it's being spent. So it's two totally different things.
Okay. Have you been in any communication with Mr. Llewellyn about coordinating your opposition? What's his position on the consolidation as you understand it?
Well, he doesn't want to consolidate because it's two totally different things, and I haven't spoken to him about it, but, I mean, you know, I've just been getting his opposition and reply, to the Attorney General's motion.
So essentially you're united in your opposition to uniting the cases, to unifying the cases.
Well, he's filed his own opposition, and I filed my opposition, and
okay.
We're opposing it for different reasons.
Right.
And in fact, in his opposition, he says, you know, all because there is one cause of action that is the same.
Right.
Which is the Article 16, Section 3.
Right.
So he's told the court, I'll remove that from my lawsuit if I need to. It's just going to confuse the issue. I believe there's like 8 or 10 issues in his lawsuit.
Right.
And just the one issue in ours, so it's totally...
So you're bringing suit on the grounds that Article 16, Section 3 of the California Constitution is being violated. He's bringing that argument, but also another 7 or so. And
exactly.
And you're saying if the Attorney General is trying to hook your two cases together on the grounds that you're both bringing that, he's willing to drop that allegation or argument from his case so that you won't have that in common anymore. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Robert Klein, who's the chair of the, before we go into that, let me ask you more about the procedures here. Do you understand whether the judge will be, do you know who's going to be hearing the case?
It's Judge, I'm not sure how you pronounce her name, Sawbrow, something like that.
Okay. And do you know... Yeah, go ahead.
She's the judge assigned for all purposes.
All right. And do you expect that there'll be a judgment on this consolidation tomorrow, or do you think that it'll have to go for the judge's further consideration?
She's supposed to issue a tentative ruling today at noon.
You mean tomorrow at noon? Today at noon?
Today at noon, right.
What kind of ruling?
She'll make a ruling based on the pleadings that have been submitted, and then if either party or any of the parties want to contest it, then they call the court and say, we're going to contest the ruling. We want to have a hearing tomorrow.
Okay. You're saying that in about a half an hour she's supposed to issue a ruling on this case?
Correct.
Today, on Wednesday the 3rd of August?
Right.
And you're only going to go into court tomorrow if one of the parties wants
to contest it?
Right. And at that point, would she make a second decision then, based on the arguments?
She might. I mean, if she's, you know, she'll obviously have reviewed the pleadings and I'm sure could make a decision, but she might want to take it under submission. I mean, it just depends on what issues are raised, and so she, you know, she could rule from the bench tomorrow, or she could take something under submission.
Okay, so there, to deal with the hypotheticals here, it starts getting complicated pretty fast, I guess. If she rules in your favor today, and the Attorney General doesn't contest it, then do you know anything about the timetable then for hearing arguments on the merits of the case? Which would then be your case separately?
Right. I understand that once this is decided, the Attorney General will reschedule their motion for judgment on the pleadings, which was supposed to have taken place yesterday, but when David Llewellyn's lawsuit was filed, it was taken off calendar.
Okay. So as of now, the ball would then be in the Attorney General's court to say when he wanted to argue the case?
Yes, he'd have to give, you know, rules of civil procedure, he has to give a certain amount of notice, but yes, he would call, get a hearing date, and then service with the pleadings,
Would that decision be solely up to him, or don't you as the opposing party, don't you have to be consulted as well there, or does the judge decide? Who decides when the case will be heard?
Just according to the court's calendar, and they have to give, I think it's, I forget how many days it is, but, you know, the equivalent of several weeks' notice before, because of due process, you have to give notice of the hearing.
Right. And so, at that point, do you expect there to be a more complicated hearing? Are you going to bring witnesses? Are there going to be testimony? Or how is the case likely to proceed once the merits start being argued?
Well, there won't, I mean, I can't say with 100% certainty, but
right.
I'm pretty sure that we won't have witnesses just because these are issues of law.
Right, so not a fact, right.
Right, so the judge just needs to look at the law and then, you know, make a decision on that basis.
So the procedure is that you'll file a brief and make an argument, and the Attorney General will file a brief and make an argument, and the judge will decide what the case, how the case should be decided.
Correct.
Okay. And if it turns out that the cases are consolidated by the judge's ruling today or after a hearing tomorrow, how are you going to proceed in that event?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that one more time?
Right.
I was distracted.
If the case is consolidated by the judge's ruling today or after a hearing tomorrow, what kind of plans would you have to proceed on that consolidated basis?
Well, I think if the cases are consolidated, the Attorney General will still bring their motion for judgment on the pleadings, right. Only it will be for both cases, and then we'll just take it from there.
And if they're separated, would they be heard consecutively, or would they still be heard simultaneously? And the invalidation motion has been filed in Sacramento, so presumably
right.
The Attorney General's office can obviously handle two cases at once,
right?
Mr. Llewellyn would presumably argue his case there in Sacramento, so the cases would be handled simultaneously if they weren't consolidated. Is that a fair assumption?
Well, no, not really. I mean, that's part of the reason the Attorney General wants to consolidate them.
Okay.
The Deputy Attorney General wants them handled at the same time, but
right.
It doesn't matter. The issues are different, you know, except for that one issue. And so let's say the judge rules that issue, well, let's say that the Attorney General stipulates that, and David Llewellyn stipulates that one issue be taken out of his lawsuit.
Right.
Then it would go back to Sacramento and run its course according to that court's calendar.
Right.
And
yeah, I guess I'm trying to understand whether, because the sort of the extra legal issue here is how long this is going to take and what
right.
impact that has
right.
on the various other events.
Right.
If the case is it likely to take any longer for the resolution if the cases are separated or if they're consolidated, from what you understand?
I don't think it will take any longer. It has to go through the process regardless, both cases, regardless
right.
of where they're at.
Okay.
For reasons that I obviously disagree with,
right.
the Attorney General thinks it will be easier to have it in one court, but I don't. I think it will confuse the issue.
Okay.
Because ours is not a validation action. It can't be. It was filed prior to any resolution, you know, to have bonds issued. So
right. And in fact, the conversation, the interview I did with Mr. Llewellyn a few weeks ago, he said that while the Attorney General was citing a portion of the law that said cases like this could be consolidated, Mr. Llewellyn mm-hmm. pointed out that what you're bringing is not an invalidation action, and therefore they're not both covered by that provision of the law, and therefore they can't be consolidated. They're not the same type of case.
Right. That's exactly right.
Okay. Let me switch to another subject here related to this. Robert Klein, who's the chair of the Independent Citizens Oversight Committee, was on the PBS program California Connected last Friday. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Did you see that interview?
No, I didn't.
Well, let me tell you, he answered questions from Lisa McCree, and I wanted to get your comment on some of the things he said. During the interview, Robert Klein said, the opposition, quote, the opposition to Proposition 71, who fought us, has maintained this fight and tried to block these funds with litigation, even though 7 million Californians voted to approve Proposition 71. Could you say something about the difference between what the law says and what any number of voters may have decided that they wanted?
Well, the voters decided that they wanted the Stem Cell Institute to exist because they want cures for diseases. And so, yes, they did vote for that, but they voted based on emotional ads that I don't think give the whole picture.
Apart from that, what I wanted to ask whether just because a lot of people vote for something that's not entitled to get, whether what the relative weight is of the law versus public preference.
Right. That's why we have a system with checks and balances, and that's why we have a representative form of government. I mean, you've heard of the tyranny of the majority.
Right.
So, you know, it's not that we don't want cures for diseases or stem cell research. We want adult stem cell research that really has some promise. I mean, we're so focused on this embryonic stuff that has no promise, and you know, there are strides being made with adult stem cell research, and I think that the cures would even possibly come more quickly going down that path. But you know, the voters voted how they voted, and the judicial branch is a way to balance what happens when, you know, something is legislative or voted upon.
Okay. Let me say what happened then next in the discussion. Ms. McCree said, specifically, what are their arguments? And Mr. Klein replied, quote, their arguments are religiously based. And while we their arguments are religiously based, and while we recognize and respect people from other religions, really, the people of California voted, really, 59% to 41% for this, and the religious opposition is really marshaling now constitutional arguments as a front for their opposition. What do you say about that?
Well, he's entitled to his opinion, but I think that it just shows that he's a religious bigot. I mean, religious people vote. Religious people have the ability to hire attorneys. He can think whatever he wants to think. It's actually everything that he says is totally irrelevant to the lawsuit. He's just spinning it.
Okay, and as to what you were going to comment on right at the beginning, he says their arguments are religiously based. Are the arguments you're bringing in court religiously based?
No, they're based on Article 16, Section 3 of the California Constitution.
Okay, good. So you're expecting to have a chance to argue that one way or the other by about when, would you say?
Well, your guess is as good as mine.
Okay.
If there's a motion for judgment on the pleadings after the hearing tomorrow, it will be within the next 4 to 6 weeks, I would think. We'll make those arguments then.
Okay. All right. And
and just one thing that I'd like to add
sure.
is there is not one moral or ethical or religious argument in our lawsuit. Absolutely not one word. Not even a hint. So, you know, he needs to spend his time doing his so-called important stem cell research work and quit doing all the PR. That was not what the voters had in mind, having Robert Klein and his PR machine spend money on stuff like that.
Okay, well, everyone will be able to hear you say that just as soon as I put this up on the internet.
I can hardly wait.
All right, good. Well, thank you. Thank you very much, and good luck in your pleadings, and we'll talk to you again when something else is happening.
Okay, thanks, Mark.
Thanks very much.
Take care.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.